We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit MTE.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since
1936.
This is WGNS Action. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
You're tuned to WGNS, and this morning we'll be talking lawns and gardens. And if you have any questions, you can text those in to us at 615-893-1450. And we have master gardeners with us today, Beth Binkley and then also Carol Wood. And how are both y'all doing?
Great. A little chilly this morning, but it's all good. We gotta expect that.
Saw a few flakes on the way over, so we're going to talk about what you can do inside.
That's right. It's a good time to be inside versus out there where it's 25 degrees. And I think Saturday, or maybe it's tomorrow, it's going to be down to like 16 at night.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
It's been cold.
It's confusing for the plants because I noticed there's a few things trying to come out in my garden.
I was telling Carol out in the lobby that my forsythia bloomed on January 6th. I don't ever remember it being that early. And, you know, you always say you're supposed to cut down your rose bushes when the forsythia blooms, but I didn't do that because I knew that the roses wouldn't survive, you know, coming out in the frost. So, yeah, it's just a little confused right now, but we make it through and things survive. Usually they survive.
Yeah, or they come out and they're like, man, it's too cold out here.
You cut them and take them inside. Like, it's okay, guys. We're going to have you inside for a while.
What are some of the plants or maybe vegetables? What are some things you should be taking inside right now? If you haven't already.
If you haven't taken them in, they're frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I left a few of my big, huge potted plants outside.
Didn't work out, huh?
No, it didn't work out. So I'm a little sad about that. But we'll see. Yeah.
And this is the time of year. Of course, we always have indoor plants, but giving them some extra love. And also, if you're going to start any seeds, that's coming up quick. If you're going to start thinking about that. If you haven't already, starting those seeds for your outdoor gardens, and you can start that in a windowsill or with grow lights or by, if you have a greenhouse, if you're fortunate enough to have one of those. So, that's the time of year to be doing all that.
I'm curious. I've seen those grow lights that they make small ones, large ones. You can get them on Amazon you can get them anywhere. But that being said, have you ever tried those and try to grow like a tomato or things like that inside?
I have. Have you, Carol?
No, I mean, I've started some plants, but I've always put them outside. I feel like they do a little better outside than inside.
Yes.
And thankfully, I've lived where, I've been able to put things outside in the ground. But if you're in an apartment or condo or whatever, there are a few things that'll grow on your patio for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, and if you use a grow lamp, I guess you could put something in the garage or something like that, too.
Yeah, anywhere you want to put it. Yeah, we actually have a neighbor I see the lights on at all times of, day and night sometimes and you can put that anywhere. So that's what's good about a grow light. You don't have to have a window at all if you don't need it.
And they're not real expensive either. I'd be curious to try that sometime. That'd be my way of gardening, just a few small plants.
Well, there's a whole line of hydroponic plants, too, that you could grow inside. That's really neat, too, to see lettuces. Growing up, we did that way back when, but it's really come back around again. So if you can grow year-round, doesn't matter the weather outside or it all is self-watering. And so, you can do things indoors, definitely.
Those come with their own little grow light on the kit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's perfect. And then winter vegetables, are they coming in right now when it's this cold? I mean, things like, Brussels sprouts, maybe even cabbage. I don't know. What could you be growing?
I think what you're doing is harvesting what you put out in the fall. If anything, at this point, it's a little cold to put things into the ground.
Kale may still be going, but that's about it maybe as far as what I've grown. But I don't know if there's something else.
I notice my greens are still, I have them in containers, and they're still looking pretty good. But the rate of their growth has slowed way down. So, it's not prolific. Just whatever was there in December, I haven't cut them since then.
And then seeds. Now is probably a good time to order seeds, buy seeds, because you can kind of I guess, lay out and plan for what you're going to be doing come spring, what kind of garden you're going to have, what vegetables you're going to have. But it's a good time to order those and think ahead.
Sure. Yes, those catalogs are a gardener's best friend. You can be flipping through those and get some different varieties that you wouldn't find, you know, already here. You can order those. And, of course, we want to check and make sure that they're going to be compatible to our climate. And a lot of times that's talked about in the catalog. And then also on the UT Extension website, there's a lot of trials that have been done for different varieties of vegetables. And it's you know, would be good to look that up as well to make sure that, you know, those are the ones that will work here. Not be frustrated as a gardener because someone else has already done that work for you. You can see what works best.
And again, if anybody has any questions, you can text those in at 615-893-1450. I read an article, I guess it was over the weekend, and it was talking about how, I don't know, it was some like a seed vault or of some kind in like Norway or somewhere crazy that. Yes. But they have seeds from all over the world that they keep in that vault, and I guess they refresh them and add new ones in case something should ever happen to some line of plant.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah. We need to be keeping those because they would disappear otherwise.
Yeah.
And I know we were just talking about, I was up in Philadelphia about a month ago, and they have, you know, just even from the colonial times, they've kept those seeds going throughout. Yeah. So you have to be able to, you know, someone's done that throughout all these years to keep them going. So keep those heirlooms going.
That's so cool. I never realized that until I read that article, but that's such a neat idea. And to think, you know, these are plants that maybe, you know, 100 years ago, somebody used on a farm, maybe even in Tennessee, but it's just neat to think about that and keeping those plants going.
Yes. Sure. I know my uncle gave me some seeds that his family had for, I think, about 50 years, and those germinated. So
that's awesome.
It was a pea. Not one that you see commonly anymore, but, you know, one that they planted back in the day.
That's neat.
A little bit of history.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're cleaning out the garage and you find some old seeds and, you know, they come in those little bags, can you still plant those? I mean, would those still be good?
It really kind of depends on if they've been in the storage of them, you know, if they've been extreme climate, probably not. But and I know a lot of the seeds, of course, have expiration dates on them as well. Yeah. But so there's a certain way to store those seeds. So it's kind of dependent on that.
Fascinating. Right. And then we have seed libraries right here in Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Smyrna's just added one to their library.
Did they?
Yes. So, So
Lineball has that. You can go get free seeds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here in Murfreesboro.
And MTSU at the library there. So if you don't want to put out the bucks for seeds, you go over and look at their, it's all in a card catalog, very organized. And if you've got seeds you want to share, you can drop them off there.
That's a neat thing that you can do. I mean, because a lot of folks, and if you're new to the area, you may not have any clue about that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But those are things that you can do to kind of try new plants out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what else should we be doing this time of year, and what's going on with the Master Gardener program this time of year?
Well, we just got our new interns for the Master Gardener program, and they will be starting their classes, I believe it is coming up quick. They'll be on Tuesday mornings that those interns are taking their classes. And just a heads up, every year we take in a new intern class that you can apply for if you want to become a Master Gardener yourself. Those applications usually go out about November, December, and then you're notified in January, and it goes through May, the internship program. You're put with a mentor, and you go through the classes. It's a big old thick book you get when you start out. It's a little intimidating, but they'll take you step by step, and by the time you get through in May, you graduate, and you're able to get out and really experience a lot of the programs that the other Master Gardeners that have been around a while will help you with. And it's a great program. There's also a Garden Basics program for just anyone in the community that's interested. That's going to be out at the Ag Center on John Rice Boulevard. And that starts up in February 19th, and it's going to be at night.
Yes.
For 4 weeks on Thursday nights from 6:30 until 8 p.m. And you were talking a little bit earlier, Carol, about it's going to really concentrate on container gardening, right. Yes. And raised bed gardening. You'll learn about what we just talked about, seeding and propagation, if you want to start growing those plants inside. Right. And then just really, there, not that we want to really highlight that, but there are some growing challenges here in Tennessee.
Yeah,
so, so again, we just try to avoid being frustrated. Just go in with that knowledge ahead of time and, you know, try not to take it personally if the plants don't grow, because it is a challenging little area with all of our rock that we have here. Of course, the climate we just talked about is up and down. So and go in with a little bit more knowledge and hopefully have some more success.
You know, I remember my first garden, and I forgot how big it was, but it was a pretty good sized garden. We were pretty excited about it, so we made it pretty big. But I remember that first year we planted mint.
And, in the ground?
Yeah.
Bless your heart. Yeah.
We didn't know what we were doing, but man, that spread like kudzu everywhere.
Yes.
And by, I guess, 5-6 years later, I mean, we eventually
had a lot of mint.
Mint
jelly, mint pie, mint, whatever you want to make.
Yeah. We pulled up so much because it was taking over everything. But that I guess those are things that folks need to, I don't know how you would think about.
Yeah. It's part of the planting.
Yeah. You got to figure out, okay, now what I'm planting now, is this going to cause problems, you know, for me in the future?
Yes.
Sure.
But
absolutely.
You got to think those things out and ask questions.
And every year is an opportunity to, you know, shift gears, change direction, that sort of thing. We had a mound in the middle of our garden that was just a mound of dirt, basically. But I'm like, okay, I can beautify this. I can plant. Anyway, this year I just, shoop, let's take that mound and, you know. So anyway, I'm starting fresh. I was like, I'm not going to work with this mound anymore. So yeah, so every time you get, you know, you can kind of pivot and say, hey, I'm going to try something different. I'm not going to plant mint this year.
As I get older, I see the benefits of things like the raised bed gardens. You know, I guess once you have grandkids, once you hit that age, then you should start thinking about those ideas, because they make a big difference in the joy of gardening. I mean, it makes it easier than getting totally down there on your hands and knees.
Yes.
So there are things that people should kind of think out ahead of time if they've never done a garden before.
Yes. And there's, you know, plenty of cedar around, and, you know, you can find all kinds of raised bed builders on Facebook Marketplace, mm-hmm. and they build beautiful things, and they can build them in a way that you don't have to, as you said, get on the ground or lean over much.
I know.
Sort of garden from your waist.
It makes it a lot easier.
It does.
It really does. We bought those great big old railroad ties, and then somebody said, well, you know, you need to kind of think that through, because there's chemicals that they put in there. And so then we, I guess, lined it with plastic. I mean, there's ways you can do things, but again, goes back to planning and knowing ahead of time what you're doing.
Yeah. And even if you are, you know, trying to make your front yard look a little prettier, I mean, there's things you can do now in terms of getting your soil ready to plant. So, you know, laying that out, I love taking a hose and laying it down and get some nice natural shapes on the ground, and then turning that sod over, and I just leave it and let it rot.
And we did have some questions here. One person says, as a new gardener, new to Tennessee, in fact, what are the most important things I should be doing in January to prepare for spring planting?
Well, I think one thing that you can do is maybe prep your soil. And so one way to do that, if you've got beds already, you can layer them with an inch or 2 inches of humus and mulch on top of that. And then that really enhances your soil for planting when it comes time to planting in April.
Yes. And they talk about, too, you can take soil samples and send them in through the extension office, and it'll tell you exactly what your soil needs. So depending on, you know, I think that's really what they encourage as far as first steps, is to see what you're working with before you, again, get frustrated by, this isn't growing here because it needs more acid, or you need more, you know, whatever it is. So that soil test is a great thing. There's boxes out at the Ag Extension Center you can go get, and it'll tell you exactly how to fill those in and send it in to see what you're working with.
And for anybody new to Middle Tennessee, the soil types, you know, throughout the state, they're so different.
Yeah,
from
when you get over to the Delta, you get Memphis, it's so different from Knoxville, you know. So, yeah, and here in Middle Tennessee, again, we're very rocky. and a lot of clay. So there's, some things you have to work around. But those raised beds, again, a great way you can create your own environment and your own soil. And just knowing, again, what to add is important.
We have one son who moved to West Tennessee, and they bought a house up there. And I guess I never realized it, but their soil, it's so sandy compared to here. And I guess I never even thought about it, but there are huge differences.
Floods of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And that's a good, I mean, again, you just have to know where you are. That sand can be a good thing, for some of that rich dirt. The loamy, that's the one of the words I remember learning it. Loamy soil. That's
loamy,
such a
yes.
good. Yeah, I like that visual.
We have quite a few questions, and I didn't even realize it. And here's another one. This one says, a farmer once told me not to worry about planting in February as long as it's deep rooted and withstands the cold.
Mm.
You can learn, I guess, ahead of time if the plant you're planting is going to have deeper roots or not. I guess that's a question to ask, whenever you're buying seeds or buying a plant.
Sure. Yeah. And here's the other thing. Now's a great time to plant a tree. The ground's not frozen because those are dormant and most of your perennials are dormant. Not that you could find one right now, but those can go in the ground now. Or if you've got things you want to move, now's a good time to move them.
Yeah, and here's another question, and I'm not familiar with this, but they said, my question is, when should I cut back on my knockout roses? What are knockout roses?
Just a variety of roses. Those are usually the ones you see everywhere. All the landscapers used them for a long time. And again, the rule of thumb I always used to go by is when your forsythia bloomed, but that's a little off this year. So usually right after that last freeze, so late February, maybe early March is when we usually cut down roses down to, you can cut them within 5 or 6 inches of the ground, and that's so good for them to, they'll come back, those knockout roses included. So
that's a plant that that blooms on new growth.
New growth.
Yes. And so you could cut it now. But like forsythia, which blooms on old growth, you don't want to cut it until after it blooms.
Okay. Somebody else said, it's great that you guys are on. Like me, there's so many other new people to the Middle Tennessee area. And there are, man, the county is growing fast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you come across people, I guess probably all the time, that say, I'm from Arizona, I'm from California. They're from somewhere totally different with totally different growing seasons.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, even in our Master Gardener program, we have quite a few people, and
West Coast,
it's wonderful.
East Coast.
Yes, yes. And they bring knowledge with them as well, of things that they've tried. In our climate, I mean, I think it is changing. And so we've able to learn, maybe this will work. You can always try. But definitely when you move into the area, talking to people that have been here a while to see what they've experienced as well is a good idea.
And, the climate really is so different compared to like being on the West Coast in California, yes. The Los Angeles area. I mean, they've got beautiful weather. It seems like year round.
Oh, I know.
Well, it's dry, but.
But I was going to say, and that does make a huge difference in what you're able to grow.
Sure.
So a lot of people are coming here, and for the first time, they're growing vegetables that they've never grown before.
Right.
They were only available, I guess, at the supermarket before.
I've lived in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Alabama, and Tennessee, and the plants have differed in all of those places.
Definitely. I bet, yeah.
Yeah, because, the climate is so different.
I think it's wonderful, just to be able to experience that, yeah.
Yeah, it is neat to be able to say, I grew this here, but can't grow that.
Right.
It's interesting.
That's one.
What is it?
Stilbe, yeah.
Can't
okay.
grow that here.
Okay.
Here's another one. It says, when should I begin fertilizing my lawn to encourage greener grass in the spring without causing damage? So is there something somebody could do right now to get that lawn ready to be greener?
Well, again, I think the soil test is critical on that because you're not sure exactly what your lawn needs. I know, for example, we live in a county full of limestone, so I'm not sure you need to lime your yard without a soil test because you probably aren't deficient in that. So I would recommend just getting a soil test, and then generally I think that happens in early spring. You put a little, depending on what the grass is, like if your grass is Bermuda, it's dormant right now, so you don't need to do anything.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe a little early for all the fertilizing right now. Yes. Yeah.
No, I know it seems like a lot of like contractors, for example, they use that Kentucky fescue whenever they're planting that grass for the first time. Mm-hmm. Are there things you can do to make that grass come in better? And I guess that Kentucky fescue, is that kind of the cheaper version of grasses to pick? Are there better grasses to choose from?
I think they just choose that fescue blend because it's successful and it's green during the winter time, and then it struggles in the summer because it's so hot. But I think right now, I mean, that's what I have in my yard, and what I've had a practice of doing, particularly in the fall, and is to overseed it.
Mm-hmm. Overseed, aerate it.
Aerate it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the fall.
And in the fall.
And, before those rains come in, right?
And you can still overseed right now. If you look at, I drive down the road where they're building all this new construction, and they have seeded that fescue everywhere, and it's just starting to green up.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So it germinates. It'll germinate in the winter if it gets a warm enough spell. Like we had those 60-degree days.
Yeah.
About five of those, six of those. So, and this cold doesn't hurt it at all.
Another question here, it was asking about, is it a good time to soil test? And you are saying, it's a good time for that.
Yeah, sure.
And then they go on to ask, what should I be looking for before planting in late March or April? So what should they be looking for? I know you mentioned, well, your soil test may come back saying you've got a lot of, lime or what else?
Sure. That'll tell you what you need to add. And then also, generally for most of those warmer weather crops and things you're planting, the ground needs to be above 55, I believe, degrees. So
something
around there. So you need to wait till it's not going to freeze anymore. And that used to be April 15th,
yes.
I think was our last frost freeze date. And so it's around that time, but I mean, as a general rule of thumb, wait until Mother's Day. I don't know why I've always done that for flowers, for my vegetables, you know, around that time. So that's usually the second weekend in May or first weekend in May.
And I've done that as well.
Just to be safe. Yeah.
And sometimes sometimes we'll get those really warm spells in April where it's like 80. Yeah.
You could always go out and cover up, I guess, what you've put out.
And so I look at a long range forecast. Mm-hmm. So you can look out almost 30 days.
Yeah.
And so if there's doesn't seem to be any big, you know, temperature swing in 30 days, I might plant a little early.
Because I understand. I mean, sometimes you only have one free weekend. You've got to get it all done, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do what you got to do. But if you can kind of, like you said, look at the long-range forecast and see that they're not going to be more frosts or freezing temperatures. So that's a good time to look until.
I know I've tried putting tomatoes in early every year because, you know, the goal is to have a tomato by the 4th of July.
4th of July, yeah.
And, you know, it's just, they just aren't successful until it's warm enough.
Speaking of the cold weather we've had lately, they're asking, have we had enough cold days or freezing days to where there's going to be fewer bugs this year?
I know, right? Mm. I think about that one. It's so warm. Mm.
I guess it depends on what the days to come look like.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of days that were just like crazy freezing because you have to have them consistently, right? Not just here and there.
I think it's below a certain temperature. And, you know, for example, peaches have to have a certain number of cold days to bloom. So,
The insects, it really depends on them, as you know, where they are during the wintertime as well.
If they're on the ground, you know.
Yeah.
That it takes a lot longer for the ground to get frozen.
But, you know, a lot of those insects are good for your garden. So they're not always a bad thing.
Definitely. I guess going back to people moving from other areas, they may be used to certain insects, but when they came here, they're like, oh man, I didn't know they had all these. what am I in store for?
I don't think we're on tap for cicadas this year. That's one good thing. I know we've had those in the past, you know, but I haven't heard anything about this year. I don't think there's any coming out. Let me know. Text in if you've heard differently, but I think that's one thing we don't have to worry about.
Yeah. Master Gardeners with us today, Beth Binkley, and then also Carol Wood, and we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, if you text it in, we'll try to get to your question next, and feel free to text in any questions at 615-893-1450. Again, talking lawns and gardens this morning.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's EV Car Club has hundreds of members and growing. EV owners, enthusiasts, and anyone interested in learning more about electric vehicles is encouraged to sign up at mte.com/EV Car Club.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We really focus on value. They get value. They get more than what they pay for. They get a higher level service. They get higher level food at a price that is a lot more affordable. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value, and again, that they were fulfilled both within their stomach and as well as their pockets. We want them to feel satisfied. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Our prices are as good or better than the box stores. I don't think you'll do better by shopping online than you would by coming in. Something new we've just added to our repertoire is drum repairs. You can have drums cut, covered, rewrapped, new hardware. We will fix them, make them look like new again. I'd like to thank you for coming by to see us again at 2762 South Church, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den. Thank you very much for being our customers.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come see us for all your cold weather needs. We have a great selection of Carhartt clothing to keep you warm, and as always, our warm muck boots to keep your feet warm. We have anything you would need to keep yourself warm or your animals warm. Please come see us. And if you're trying to feed your feathered friends through the cold months, we also have a wide selection of birdseed. That's the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Grab your coffee and your recycling bin. It's time for the Recycled Minute with Rocky the Raccoon, Tennessee's top trash talking mascot.
Rocky the Raccoon here with RecycleRightTN.com with a fashion tip today. Old clothes and textiles can be reused or recycled. Don't trash them. Donate gently used items to local thrift stores or drop them off at textile recycling boxes. There's places like Greenhouse Ministries, The Goodwill, and many, many other places too in town that would love your gently used clothing. So make sure those old clothes go to folks who could really use them. I'm Rocky the Raccoon for RecycleRightTN.com. Closing out today's show, the Raccoon Recyclers.
Go to Recycle Right TN. Recycle Right TN. Learn what goes in and what stays gone. Keep it clean and carry on.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. You can text in any questions, 615-893-1450. Master Gardeners with us today, Beth Binkley, and then also Carol Wood. And we had a question during that last break, and they're asking, let me get back to it. It says, when do we apply pre-emergence? And I guess, first of all, what are pre-emergence?
Yes, that's usually going to keep the weeds out of your lawn. That's what I'm thinking with pre-emergence, and you want to do that before you see the weeds, right? So pre-emergent on really now. I mean, I've seen some weeds already in my yard, but typically here in Middle Tennessee, February, March, you want to be putting those pre-emergence on your lawn if you're wanting to keep out the weeds.
And I know I've used those successfully in the past, and really will cut down on your weeding of annuals, particularly in the summertime.
So it makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Okay.
Yeah, it can.
And I guess the most common thing I see in my front yard are those little onion things.
Right. You know, and I mean, there's different schools of thought, even within Master Gardener program, too. We have a lot of people that do not want to use anything chemical on their lawns and things like that. So there are other natural ways to do that. Instead of putting it down pre-emergence, but definitely that's most effective probably to keep out all those.
And it sort of brings up this idea of scouting your yard and just going out. Like I went out this week and I noticed all these perennials that are trying to pop up out of the ground and a number of weeds. And, I just might lean over and pull some of those weeds right out of the ground. The ground's soft right now. So, and that sort of keeps them in control.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know henbit now, it's
henbit
beautiful in the fields. It's that purple flower you see early in the spring. But, it's annoying to have it in your yard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one, and it starts.
again, though, for the bees. I mean, yeah, again, we have it is for those. Yeah, for but it's may not for the homeowners association.
Yeah, all the new neighborhoods throughout Rutherford County, there are so many today with an HOA, with the homeowners association.
Yes.
Whereas I remember when I was a kid, very few neighborhoods had HOAs, but now it's like everywhere's got one.
Everybody yeah. wants to control the look, I guess. Yeah. So they have their pros and their cons.
And I had another question here. It says, for somebody new to gardening, and this is like the third person who said they're new to gardening.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's
this
exciting.
One says, yeah, so for someone new to gardening, what are the easiest vegetables to grow successfully?
Mm.
And I guess they're talking about probably for this upcoming spring and,
sure.
and summertime.
Yeah. I mean... Easy, yes, but what are you wanting to eat, too? I mean, I think
right.
about that. Like, are you a tomato eater? Of course, tomatoes spring to mind because you mm-hmm. can plant those in a container or you can, you know.
Cucumbers.
Cucumbers
yeah.
are easy.
Successful here.
But are you going to eat? I mean, that's another thing. You do want to be able to eat what you grow, too.
Right.
Yeah. I've done okra, but it's super easy and very prolific, but.
And also very good for you.
Very good for you, but it gives you a whole bunch, so just be ready.
Right. I think I had 12 plants last year, and I had enough to harvest every
peppers
every other
seem
day.
To be
yeah.
easy.
Peppers.
Yeah, so just, again, kind of what you
beans,
what you want to eat.
If mm-hmm. you like green beans,
yeah.
those are pretty prolific here. I love the peas and the butter beans. And it also depends on how much space you have.
When you go to look at different things to plant, I mean, there's different types of cucumber. There's
right.
different
yeah,
types
absolutely.
Of tomatoes. I mean,
strawberries and
yeah.
potatoes.
Right.
And I mean, depending on the place you have as well. And you can do different things. You can, you know, do potatoes now and then take those out and put your tomatoes above. You know, so you can do multiple plantings in the same spot, of course. So you don't have to be limited.
And so there is a publication out on the UT Hort site that's called Plants for the Tennessee Landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's vegetables and perennials and trees and all kinds of things. And that tells you which ones are the most successful. So you don't always see those in the plant trays at big box stores, but you can order those seeds. And those are the ones that are the easiest to care for and prolific here in Tennessee.
And I think that's something, I mean, maybe we don't realize that as a new gardener about there are so many different varieties. I mean, you just kind of, I know when I first started, I was like, okay, there's a tomato. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
you know there's different names for tomatoes, but same thing for every type of vegetable. And there are specific ones that are better here in Middle Tennessee. So, again, taking away some of that frustration, you can go ahead and get those, the ones that work.
And the great thing is you can always go online to research before you buy and
sure.
and learn, you know, what are the sweeter varieties of this? Or
right.
I guess depending on what taste you like.
Right.
right.
And even, you know, smaller cucumbers to pickle, burpless cucumbers.
Right.
So there's all different types of varieties. So it really depends on what you want to eat. I mean, yes, easy, but also make it worth your while. If you're going to be out there, you better, enjoy what you're growing.
We had a question and it's reminding me, it said I asked this 2 weeks ago, but it didn't get on. So I'm going to ask it because I guess we didn't have time to ask it last time. But they were asking about whenever they're making their garden bed, taking an old hose and drilling holes into it and mm-hmm. burying that under, I guess, where you're going to be
for
putting
irrigation,
your plant bed. Yeah.
Irrigation system. Yeah.
And then I guess hook it to the pipe and turn it on every
sure.
once in a while.
Absolutely.
Does that do well?
Yes. And they encourage also to water from the root, water from underneath instead of spraying on top
of the drip.
Yeah, the drip hose is what they're referring to. And that's a great way to irrigate your beds because, again, that's something with containers and with raised beds. You do have to water those more often than, in the ground because
right.
they're going to dry out faster. So having some sort of irrigation system is a wonderful idea. You put that down first. So, yeah, thank you for putting
that down. There's soaker hoses that you can buy to simplify that a little bit.
Or they sounds like
to.
They're making their own. Yeah,
yeah
poking
I've
holes
done
in
both.
It. Yeah, yeah. So it's
a
great idea.
I never thought about that. I guess you can always find an old free hose somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put some holes in it.
Keep on right. Yeah, and that's a great way. And you don't have to be out there. You know, you can even put it on a timer and and have it work for you even when you're out of town. And just a wonderful way to keep that garden growing.
That's
timers
great.
Are great. I think I have 6 timers in my yard.
Yes.
Now, I know you mentioned something about chemicals in your vegetable garden in your mm-hmm. garden, and I guess thinking ahead about that on what you should and shouldn't use.
Yes.
But that's a big question. You know, should you use any type of chemical on your garden?
Right. You really, especially you're going to be eating those vegetables, really be aware of that. We talked a little bit earlier with the railroad ties, too, things leaching into your soil. And then
that's scouting for bugs, you know, mm-hmm. Especially tomato hornworms. They can devastate your tomato plant in about a day. Mm-hmm. But if you walk out and take a look at your tomatoes and notice the leaves are gone, you've got a couple of those guys on there.
And there are some, you know, I guess I would say friendly to eating vegetables, some of those chemicals you can use that will not harm humans. So just make sure you're looking at those labels and not using something that would be detrimental to your health.
Some Dawn soap and
there you go. Vinegar, some things.
There's a lot of more natural kinds of things.
You know, that brings me to the next thing, and that is the great thing about the farmer's market, because now you have the winter farmer's market. You can actually talk to the farmer mm-hmm. and ask them, you know, what did you use? You know, mm-hmm. what did you use, chemicals or mm-hmm. and so forth. So if you have allergies to certain things, if you want to avoid certain chemicals, you can talk to the farmer to find out what they have used, and that helps.
Yeah, and some of them don't use anything,
which is wild. I mean, that's you know, they're a good farmer.
Right, takes extra level of care.
And there's still some farms out there where you know, they carry on that tradition, mm-hmm. and maybe they learned how to farm great-great-grandfather or something along those lines.
Or they're using beneficial bugs, you know, to come in and eat the bad bugs. So, there's lots of different techniques they've learned.
There's really an art to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
And there's all kinds of, you know, things that you can read on organic gardening, which is, you know, an interesting way to try to promote your healthy food right out of your backyard.
I love it. And if somebody wants to partake in a Master Gardener class, if they want to learn more, what is that next opportunity where they can take a class? And maybe it's not the full Master Gardener class, but what is the next upcoming class?
I think it's the Garden Basics. That this is new this year. We're putting it in the spring, so mm-hmm. you get some knowledge before you get to start gardening.
Yeah, if you just look on the UT Extension website, it starts at February 19th, that one you're talking about, Carol. And mm-hmm. it's a great one to start with. It's going to give you 4 weeks of good garden basic knowledge. And then come on out and talk to any master gardener when we're at the farmers markets and again, the farmers themselves. So just a great wealth of knowledge out there for anyone that's interested.
And again, there are a lot of differences with this area versus other states. I mean, here in Middle Tennessee, you've got a lot of different seasons that change fast, and mm-hmm. those are things I guess you should learn about before going out and buying the vegetables you're going to be planting.
Yes, right. And you know, we are on Old Rocky Top.
Yeah. And there's
a lot
of rock and
a lot
of areas.
I never really got that until I lived here.
Here's another question. How can I prevent weeds before spring without harming grass or harming future vegetable beds? And I know you mentioned aerating. What are there some other things people could be doing?
Here's the thing about pre-emergence. Pre-emergence keeps seeds from germinating.
Great. Weed seeds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you want to use pre-emergence in your bed, your garden beds, don't use them anywhere you're going to try to get a seed to germinate in it.
So they're preventing.
So,
and kind of what Carol said too. I mean, just, you know, looking at your yard. I know that's a lot to have to go out and weed. But if you know, the more you do now, the less they're going to spread. So if you can go out and you know, tackle that early on, that's a great way to
prevent
to make
anything mm-hmm. of those weeds from going to seed is helpful.
Again, with us today, Master Gardeners Beth Binkley and also Carol Wood. And we'll try to fit in, there's two more questions here. This one says, which vegetables grow the very best in Tennessee's hot summer months without having to add excessive amounts of water?
Wow. Yeah.
Are there any that require a lot less water than others for vegetables?
I would say peppers.
A little bit more resilient.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't
Well, some of your herbs may not require as much.
Yes, there are some herbs.
That's not vegetables. I know they specifically asked about vegetables. You know, and again, we learned this in Master Gardening one of those first weeks, is you use that index finger. If you can go out and you touch the soil, that's your best indication of when you need to water. And all vegetables and, you know, flowers, they're all going to need that water. And it depends on, you know, sometimes if they have a little bit more resilience to the drought, but pretty much every vegetable is going to need a good amount of water. Of course, that sunlight is another big important factor, 6 to 8 hours a day, so make sure you've got that. So yeah, they're all going to need water, so you're going to make sure you're paying attention to
you know
that.
And planting your garden bed so that your more thirsty plants are together, so that you don't have to water on this side of the yard and over here on this side of the yard. If you really think about grouping them together in terms of their water needs, that's also helpful.
Farmers Market, that's coming up tomorrow morning, 8 till noon, and that's at the Lane Agri Park on John R. Rice Boulevard. We're already out of time, but thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.